board budget. And it was going to be presented by the chairman of the county board. And here she is.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us here. County board budget, Dave?
Yes.
Move to approve.
Second.
I have a question.
Yes.
How about next year we look at chucking those chairs and getting some...
Which chairs?
That we sit on in the county.
The chairs that we sit in?
Why would you do that?
They're old?
They're historical.
That makes sense.
They're bad, they're not comfortable, they're...
You have to check with the historical registry.
Yeah, I suppose if they're historical.
Buildings up and chairs are up.
We can certainly look at it next year.
Okay.
As long as we're going to discuss this one thing, I'd like to mention, and it's been discussed in years past, budgets past, that a little additional money be put in for the county board chairman to send the county board supervisors to some of the events in the city on a rotating basis, like when CABA has something going on, and there's a lot of these. It would be nice to have a more of a presence of the county board, and if you had the budget to rotate supervisors and send them to this event, I think that would be something we should do.
I think we talked about that, didn't we? Was there an issue with that, or for council, or...
As long as it isn't with any particular...
Rotating basis.
Depending on what the event is.
Right.
Terry?
Yeah.
Like the CABA event coming up, is that partisanship?
I don't think so. I don't think it runs into any issues of making a donation to a charity. I mean, I'd have to look at it.
And I believe that there's some discretionary funds in there too, right?
I believe there are.
Chairman's promotional is $1,800.
Yeah. I mean, there's ways to do it right out of there.
Right.
So I think you could actually authorize that right now without... Yes?
I'm on the Gateway Board. They encourage us to attend those. In fact, I attend two or three a year, like the CABA one. And the Gateway pays for the ticket. Then, of course, I attend on behalf of Gateway as a presence. The other night I was at the KAC thing because I was there. Gateway had purchased a table. Okay? You can do it. And as long as we're on the subject, we got these little iPads we got. You want to go paperless? Get us a decent piece of equipment that we can see, okay? What would it cost to get everybody a laptop? Look into it.
That's how we did.
City, I talked to one of the aldermen, and he said he attends these dinners. By the way,
the notebooks, not laptops.
He attends these dinners. He bills the city, and they pay it. He attends on behalf of the city. So what are we talking about here?
I can answer part of that.
Yes.
Next year is the rotation of the tablets will be in next year's budget. It was a three-year. Every 3 years, we're going to be looking into it. When I instituted it 2 years ago, so we're in our third year now. After this year is up, in the next year, they'll be looking at either a new laptop or pad or whichever the county board or the chairwoman wants to do. Whatever it is, and that's when it comes up. It's in the next year. That I can tell you.
So, what did we decide?
Well, we're still got a year to think about it. You're not going to get nothing.
I mean,
$1,800.
$1,800 might get you to send one group to a CABA thing.
Are you talking about the groups?
They're usually $500.
It's always been the policy of the board that if you have something that you want to attend, you should always request it through the chair, and they will see if there's funds available. So there's nothing that's ever stopped anyone from doing it.
If we happen to do that, and you have $1,800, that ain't going to go very far, is it?
Depends on
depends on where it is and what it is.
Yeah, depends on how many times you want to go.
Well, no, but I mean, okay, one cab, I think it's $100 a ticket, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, anything further?
Anything further?
Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Both?
No.
Yeah.
No, I vote no.
Oh, you voted no, okay.
Yep.
And certainly you're right.
Because we didn't do anything, okay? All we did is talk about it. I'll vote aye up on the county board floor, but I won't vote aye here.
All right. Recognizing that these are initially tentative votes, the last evening we will do a final vote. So if you do want to amend something at that time or whatever, you certainly can do that. But tonight is merely an amendment. Yes.
Okay, along those lines, I would like to ask the board if you have any questions or issues when the people are coming before you, bring them up now and don't wait till that night when they might not be here. So I have a problem with doing it that way because I think everybody comes and is prepared on the night they sit in front of you. So if you're going to do that, please be prepared and ask your questions when they're here. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on then to the county executive's budget. Thank you, Jim.
Like you said, I
we have me at a distinct advantage.
We did that on purpose.
we thought we'd get started right. You know?
That's right. Chairman Rose, fellow members of the Finance Committee, I'm happy to bring the county executive's budget to you on page 307. Same number of employees as last year's, same across the board increases that you'll see in most budgets for the personnel, FICA, retirement, medical insurance, life insurance, and workers' compensation. Additional increase in other professional services for a countywide retail strategic study with Kenosha Area Business Alliance and the website initiative for those retailers in our community. For all the municipalities. Some of them aren't able to do that. We are working with Andy Bueller and the Kenosha Area Business Alliance on this, and that is in this budget. As we move down to staff development and public liability, and those issues are the same as the across-the-board increases in the other budgets. I'd like to draw your attention to the organizational chart on page 309. Where there is one change in this year's budget, whereby the Chief Information Officer of Information Technology is now moved under my direction, although surely it's from the CFO, Dave Gertsen, but he is still going to be around here a long time and be working with me on that very important department. But that is the only physical structure change in my department for 2017.
Move it be approved.
Second.
Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Thank you very much. Then CABA, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
Hey, Todd.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Todd Battle with Kenosha Area Business Alliance. Our budget request for 2017 is in front of you. There's a request for $50,000, which supports general operations. CABA and the county have enjoyed this relationship for a number of years where the CABA, where the county provides operating funds to offset our general operations costs. We leverage that by raising money from the private sector and then earning management fees and other income from our general operations. CABA then serves as the county's economic development arm, manages a significant amount of revolving loan funds, new Salem Business Park development, which we've made some very good progress on. And then we've also recently worked with the county over the last several years to capitalize and now manage a high impact fund, which has become a pretty important economic development incentive fund for us. There's some dollars allocated from your capital budget towards that. Towards replenishing the high impact fund. So here to answer questions or as you see fit, and just wanted to make that request. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say that I love the job that you're doing, and our community has been a great place for a number of years, so just keep up the good work. I'll move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you, John.
Extension, Teddy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee and other supervisors present. Today our budget begins on page 329. You'll see that we have submitted a flat budget containing the 2016 levels. We are undergoing a reorganization statewide for cooperative extension, as you are aware. As of today, we still are in a position of not knowing many specific details, so thus the flat budget to maintain 2016 levels next year as we move forward through perhaps springish, I'm saying loosely, but certainly we're hoping by July 1, a much more definitive restructuring plan put forward. Administratively, we expect to be sharing some positions with Racine, but at this point we don't know what that will look like. So we're maintaining our current levels and maintaining our quality programming here in Kenosha County with lots of new efforts underway for next year.
Yeah, yes, I'm sure. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a question.
Yes.
You're saying it's exactly the same, pretty much?
Yes, pretty much, yeah.
Except I noticed the... your medical insurance is quite a bit less. Is that for less people or?
There's only one county employee, and so that's anticipated with the new hire in that position. So
compared
that was calculated by finance.
Okay, how many are on it now?
Just one person.
Okay.
Yeah, all those figures at the top are for the one county employee.
Okay, but the exact one is on it now, right? I guess maybe I didn't ask my question right. How many people this year are on the health insurance? Just one?
Is that on the county, one.
And next year?
One.
Okay. Your budget for this year is 21,000. Next year it's 96,18. That's substantially less.
And I would have to defer to the finance department to add regarding the calculations on how that's done. Those figures are provided to me based upon.
Okay.
Sounds like a single plan.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay.
Jim.
Yeah. Hey. Family to single.
Okay. Thank you. Jim. That explains it. Thank you.
Mm. Thank you. Good question.
All right. Anything further? Seeing none of those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Corporation Council.
Good evening, supervisors. The Corporation Council budget begins on page 314. There are no significant changes in the budget from 2016. There's a slight increase in a couple of light items due to anticipated increases in cost. I think those essentially are subscriptions, books and manuals. I bumped slightly the anticipated revenue for doing work for joint services. As you're obviously aware, we are not a revenue producing unit, but we do charge some nominal amount for legal work for joint services under the terms of the IDA. And based on what we've done so far this year, I did bump up that anticipated revenue a little bit just to try and reflect reality. And you'll note, as with last year, that although the number of people in the office remains constant at 6, 4 attorneys and 2 support people, we are listed as having 5.7 FTEs, as because 0.15 of one attorney and one legal assistant is charged to a different unit because they do work on liability claims. And again, finance could probably explain that better, but the gist of it is that 0.3 is charged to a different business unit.
Move to approve.
Second. Discussion.
I think I might brought this up last year. And is there, we don't, you don't have by departments how much, how much, you don't bill them back, per se, for our use, for your, anyone's use in the department, do you? Or could we, could finance tell, like, who's using you the most versus others?
We try to estimate for audit purposes how much of our time is spent on what.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question.
It does, to a certain extent, it does, but.
Mr. Chairman, to the question, but we have what's called an indirect cost plan, and to the degree we don't charge back directly, that indirect cost plan captures the work of the district attorney, and then we charge it back to any funding source that allows us to get a recruitment. So to the degree we don't charge it back directly, we claim it through the indirect cost plan.
Of corp counsel.
I mean, not just corp counsel, but corp counsel is part of the indirect cost plan, but all of the administrative departments flow through that. And we recover hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Yes.
How's that medical insurance broke down? How many single plans, how many family plans?
I believe it is 5 family plans, 1 single plan. I believe.
Okay.
Which may account for a reduction in the insurance because we would have had 6 family plans prior to Bernie's retirement.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, all of it, it's in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
The district attorney is not here, but we can discuss any part of the budget, even though it is not at the time slot.
Mary,
so,
Mary is here.
Mary Beyer is where?
I'll go get her.
All right. Yep. Otherwise, I was going to say we can do joint. Yes, we're going to move right ahead. There's no one from the DA's office here, so we'll take you next.
Okay, I do have a little handout. I printed 9. I hope there's enough. Chairman Rose, members of the Finance Committee, I'm pleased to be here before you this evening to present my 2017 budget. For 2017, juvenile intake is requesting $747,000 in tax levy, which is an increase of $31,000. The two largest increases are from the personnel appropriation unit and also from the other professional services line item. Everyone have a handout?
Yes.
If you look at the handout to the right of it, it gives an explanation for the increase in each line item. Next year, we will be seeing a $5 per day rate increase for juvenile detention. And that accounts for the entire increase in the other professional services line item. We're currently paying $115. Next year, it will be $120. And I just remind the committee, last year I decreased that line item by $44,000. So I'm asking for a third of that back this year.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, very good. We'll then take Bob, District Attorney's budget next. We're ahead of schedule, and we took Mary Beyer's budget the 4 years that she was here. And
hey, Bob, watch that chair. Oh,
that's long.
Watch that chair.
Mickey Rooney chair.
I'm sorry. Watch that chair.
Well, it's rather short. Very short. Yeah. We like. To
I'll just tower over the crowd.
Yeah. You'll be sitting there next year, there on the floor.
He's a bigger guy. So
you might want to wheel around at times. Though,
yeah. Right? You then appreciate our affirmative vote part.
Our chairs in the budget?
Or, no.
We've already had a discussion about chairs.
Yeah, they're going to be for the county board.
We're getting new ones.
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good evening. As most of you know, this is going to be my last budget presentation to the Finance Committee. As you know, I'm retiring our DA's office at the end of the year. So I want to take a moment to thank this committee and the County Board of Supervisors who have been supporting our office, or the office, for all of the years that I've been in office. And tonight I bring with me the new District Attorney, Mike Gravely, who will be speaking to you briefly in a moment, together with our new office manager, Tina Burke. Tina?
Hi.
Tina prepared a little handout, I call it a cheat sheet. She's going to hand it to you, just give you a quick overview. I know you've got a lot of detail in your budget documents. This one just summarizes some of the highs and the increases and decreases. As she's doing that, I just want to point out that the centerpiece of our budget this year is the pre-charge and deferred prosecution program. A couple of weeks ago, Mike spoke to the Committee of the Whole of the County Board and talked to you about the pervasiveness of the heroin addiction problem in the community. So I went back through some of my materials that I've had, and I wanted to show you that. In the Kenosha News front page, heroin use deaths on rise. Sound like something just recent? That was April 6th of 2014. Just recently then, on September 7, 2016, front page Kenosha News story, heroin crisis seen in county. So the problem hasn't gone away, and our office has decided to do something about it from our perspective in seeking treatment over convictions. With that said, we are asking for your support tonight of our program, the pre-charging deferred prosecution program, that incorporates two pieces. You heard about the Vivitrol program the other night. The other piece of this program is a nonviolent misdemeanor program with individuals who have a treatable need. So we're putting both of these programs together in what we refer to as the pre-charging deferred prosecution program. Felony program dealing with Vivitrol, recovery, treatment, and then a nonviolent misdemeanor program for those individuals who have a treatable need. To accomplish our objective, we're looking for two support people, one a full-time paralegal and a half-time prosecutor. With that, I'll now turn it over to Mike, and Mike can give you the reasons why we feel we need those additional personnel.
Thank you, everybody. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity to get a chance to talk about this crisis to the Committee of the Whole, and really appreciated the questions and the reception I got. What we have tried to do is a couple of things at once. We've tried to come up with a new tool to deal with what is the most profound crisis I've seen since I began in the DA's office in 1989 in terms of addiction and how it parallels and spirals into additional crime and costs that we see throughout the criminal justice system. We have a couple of key pieces which are why we've asked for the very specific staff and increase that we have. One is that we have the opportunity to piggyback on what is already an evidence-based best practice treatment program that the county has been very successful in pioneering, and that is the Vivitrol program, which is for, at this time, even a more difficult population, a mentally ill, dual diagnosis, opiate-addicted population. Because our population that we're targeting now are first offenders who will probably have more family support, will have more of the resources to be able to be successful. We're predicting our success rate will be very high. Already using existing resources and an existing template with that Vivitrol program. But we need a couple of things. Because of the legal piece, because these are folks that we want to divert who have been arrested, who have been in custody, we need to have an attorney who's going to be available in that morning time period, half a day, to be able to negotiate those people's release from custody, to be able to make sure that those people who are in custody and are being offered this program and are in the throes of opiate addiction, so have difficulties of the sickness and the legal piece that is flying around, we have a very limited amount of time where we can negotiate before they have to be released. And everything we've been told is you must get these folks into a place where they're not released, you're not just sort of depending on a promise or an idea that, hey, you know, we'll see you in 7 days when you clean up, please come back and take a shot, which is what Vivitrol is. We need to be able to have these folks in a more secure setting, not in a jail, but in a hospital-type setting, the care center beds. And only that can only be done with a lawyer, with a person who is a dedicated lawyer, who defense attorneys and the public defender's office and the jail staff will be able to allow us to figure out who we're targeting in terms of for diversion and make those deals happen before a person would get out of custody while we still have an opportunity to impact them. And then the last piece is the paralegal, and that is because if folks like Bob and I are going to put our name to not charging someone with a crime, to giving them this really, really rare opportunity to divert themselves out of a crime if they participate in treatment, we need to be able to guarantee to the public, and you folks need to be able to guarantee to the public, that this is being really monitored. And so we need a paralegal who can be dedicated to making sure these folks are going to treatment, that they are taking their shots, that they are not committing new crimes. We need some staff person to be able to monitor them essentially full time if there are going to be as many as 75 or 100 people in this program. And certainly they'll be getting treatment through PSG, but in terms of monitoring them to make sure that they're not a threat to the community and that they're really complying, we need someone on our staff for the general public and frankly for us to trust that this is a program that is has enough safety protections for the community. So those things are all priorities for us. To us, they all fit together as a puzzle that really doesn't have a piece that can be separated or taken apart, and that's why we've made the request we have.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, discussion, Jack.
Yeah, I'm in total support of what you're bringing forward, but take them out of a crime. What I heard you say something to that effect. What can you explain that to me?
Well, sure. Yeah. For instance, the component I talked about a little bit at the county board meeting is someone would be caught in a traffic stop with opiates that they're not supposed to have in their car.
Okay, but it's not something that But it's not something some crime they perpetrated on somebody else that.
It would not be a crime that has a victim who would ever have a complaint. Okay. Might be a crime to a family member who wants them in this program, that kind of thing. Remember, this is first offenders.
Cool. All right. How are you selecting the people you're using now for the treatment?
Well, we haven't started until January. The program wouldn't begin. But how are we going to do it?
Well, no. Right now, there's people on it, and there's people coming from corrections.
Not our program, but those are folks who are being diverted out of the jail. Those folks are being chosen by probation and parole primarily would be the population that has been identified.
I mean, you're going to piggyback on that, right? You're going to work together?
I'm going to piggyback it, but this is an entirely different population of folks who we're targeting. The folks I'm targeting are not currently on probation and parole. They have not been convicted of a crime before. The folks I'm targeting, this is the first time they've been in the system.
Let me clarify this for a moment. We're talking about a first offender program as opposed to what might be considered a drug treatment program, which is a post-conviction. So those that are in the system currently are those that are on probation or in the system. The advantage of this program is that it's going to, hopefully, if a person successfully completes, they won't have a criminal history, they will not be entered into CCAP, it won't affect them for the future, the rest of their lives, for job opportunities, educational opportunities. This is a unique program. You need to compare and contrast it a little bit with what is currently existing post-conviction as opposed to pre-charging. So I want to emphasize pre-charging deferred prosecution.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't want to see the other part of the I'm looking at the big picture with hitting everybody we can, and I met with the people who are doing the other part of the program that you're talking about pigging back with because I wanted to understand it. And I think that, unfortunately, that's a good place to find people to dry out and to get the help that they need when they're in that position. So, and I appreciate the one step further, but I think that we all realize that when people get in the system, it's a lot more costly. So I think we need to try to divert everything we can, and even if they're in the system, to try to help them out so that we don't have reoccurring problems. So I think it's a good program. I enjoyed the presentation before. I've dove into it and found the other pieces as well, and I think it's all a good program. So thank you.
Greg?
Yeah, I have a question. And I think we talked about this on the victim witness program. Why are your expenses going down? Are you losing someone there? Or why? I know we talked about it in the judicial committee. I can't remember what it was. I'm on page 57. It's going down a bit.
$1,500
Yeah, and also I noticed that salaries your salary and expenses are going down some, so that's very, is it someone less people? Is that why?
No, those are numbers. Are you looking under the DA victim witness
yes.
on the expense sheet?
Yeah.
We don't have any departmental control over that. Those are numbers that were given to us. So I think it's just between the retirement and insurance and things and the age of the length of time people have been in our office affects the different rates. That we paid out.
It may be as simple as the age of who the employees are.
Okay.
And what their coverage is.
Okay. And one quick question, another one, just real quick. You mentioned you're going to add a full-time for your drug intervention program.
Part-time.
My question was, why not full-time? Is that just not...
We were trying to be as cost effective as we possibly could be. And what we thought was we need somebody who is at least there half time so that the same lawyer is always doing the same negotiation, is always doing the same thing. This program, you know, really doesn't become, if everybody has their hand in it, you don't have any kind of consistency or reality. So we thought a good starting point was a half-time person, and you know, we have an experienced prosecutor who we think would slate into that. So it'd be a person who, though they're half-time, would not have a learning curve.
This is a contract position, no benefits.
Right,
and we were anticipating that if we came and asked you for a full-time, you'd probably tell us no. So we may be back next year if this program is successful and say, we need a full-time.
Okay. We wanted to be as cost-efficient as we could on a startup.
I understand. Well, appreciate that. Well, thank you. That's all I had on that.
Right.
Can you clarify for me on the revenue, the additional $40,000?
Sure. Yeah, one of the things that we wanted to do was we wanted there to be a cost to this program, and we're going to have a situation where if somebody has financial need where they're not able to pay, we're not going to require them to do that, and we're going to try to have people make payment plans with us, etc. But we estimate that if there are 100 people in here, certainly there's a $400 cost that we want to be able to return to the county per program recipient, and we're estimating if we have a maximum of 100 people that certainly we're going to be able to get 40 people to pay that. So that's that money.
Okay, thank you.
And we're hoping to exceed that if we can.
This program we're starting, it would be nice to be if you get it maybe after 3 months, could you fill us in on what's going on or people to
be happy to do that.
And if it happens to expand or you have better need, maybe we could look at it.
Sure, we'd be happy to do that.
maybe the part-time attorney won't be enough, but I think this has got to be done.
Sure, yeah, we'd be happy to do that. Love to do that.
Further?
I have a point of, I'd just like to thank Mr. Zapp for his years of service as the district attorney. This being his last budget, I just want to thank him personally and in the committee level for his integrity he had in the office that he brought. And I wish good things in future endeavors.
Thank you.
I'll give that a hand.
There was a question about a lower cost, and why didn't you answer that?
The lower cost of the salaries for victim witnesses is just difference from one year to another, a higher cost per hour aging employee one year versus the next. On that health insurance, it's just the difference between someone going to a single.
Okay.
All right, anything further? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. All right, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, the circuit court.
Wow, here comes the VIP. Wow.
Maybe we do need you to do chairs in the community after looking at that.
Right. Well, thank you very much for having me here tonight for the annual presentation. A brief synopsis of what's presented in front of you from the circuit court side includes a $10,000 addition for the Veterans Court Treatment Program. That's a district-wide initiative between Kenosha and Racine to do an alternative treatment court for our veterans. that is housed in Racine, but it is very much used in Kenosha County. It also includes an increase in doctor's expenses or an expense in the doctor's line items. We have experienced a significant increase in the cost of medical bills presented to the county for court-ordered evaluations from medical providers. There's fewer providers doing the psych eval, so we're kind of at their mercy. They've done an increase in their charges and their rates, so again, we're at their mercy because these are statutory required evaluations. Also included in the budget is a 1.5% increase across all of our contracted positions for our guardian ad litems, our advocate counsel, bailiffs, and county paid court reporters, for which we only have one part-time position in our intake court, which is a shared position. But that's a 1.5% increase that's in there. One significant portion is the funding of a position that I've presented for the last number of years. It's funding a position that we were awarded when Branch 8 came to, was implemented in Kenosha County back in 2008. It was approved to be funded effective March 1st. We have more than enough work in the courthouse, including continued coverage of accident medical leaves. Up to date, as of September 1st, we were covering over $1,700 of medical leave for personnel, including our vacancy rate, which was excessively high this year too. And we also covered 1,700 hours of medical leave in 2015 as well. So our medical leaves are high, our need is high, in addition to our vacancies. But we are full staff, knock on wood, with the exception of a few medical leaves right now. So I'm very pleased for that, and I would ask for your approval to implement that position funded March 1st. There's also an in-range adjustment for Bethany Lofgren, who's the financial services manager. During 2016 to March of this year, I experienced the leave of our court services manager, and through the posting procedure and a pregnancy leave, that position remained unfilled for a period of 9 months. Bethany stepped up greatly to aid all of us in the running of the circuit court. We didn't have judges calling us, complaining about issues not being dealt with. I was not able to continue to run that office without her assistance. She forfeited some vacation leave and took vacation time as she was able, as according to the court schedule, rather than their own. And I think this is just a minor way that we can show our appreciation for that level of dedication that isn't always warranted, even from our best non-represented individuals. In regards to revenues on the item, the one major line item change is the combination of the GAL support grant with the court support grant. It used to be two separate line items that we would receive from the state for funding from the court. They have now combined into one line item. So that's the dollar amount is very similar, but there is a significant change in those appropriation items. And the other revenue change is on county ordinance fines. That is decreased significantly to come more in line with what is actually going to be expected for the Sheriff's Department to be writing in terms of forfeiture violations and what we are able to collect as well. Based on that information, I will respectfully request you have this proposed budget.
Jeff?
Move to approve.
Second. Discussion? Great.
I have a question on the revenue part with bond defaults for the counties way up this year. Explain that a little bit.
When someone appears in court, they are put on bond, and the purpose of bond is to ensure their appearance at future court hearings. Sometimes it's a cash bond, sometimes it's a signature bond. If they don't appear at a future hearing, that bond is then forfeited and that money goes into our revenue. There was a $100,000 bond that was forfeited this year based on someone's non-appearance.
Oh, so that's probably the majority of that.
Okay, but the bond can also be reinstated should the defendant reappear and the judge say, okay, you had a very good reason for not appearing, And so if he should happen to come in next year and the judge would reinstate it, that would actually decrease it. So that's why there's such a variance in that we keep it at a very reasonable level, because we never know when it could be reinstated for whatever reasons.
I also get a kick out of this, and Supervisor Rose explained to me the interpreter's expense. It's amazing how expensive that is. Huh?
Yes. And we're very fortunate in Kenosha that we have some local interpreters that work with us on a...
Is that going to keep pretty much going up? I mean, there's not a lot you can do with that to help on that expense. It's going to stay or go up, right?
It's probably going to go up because the we're at their mercy, too. They can start increasing their hourly rates, and we're always grateful when they don't, but our reimbursement rate with the state is always going to stay the same. But our judges are good. We schedule block schedulings. Again, the local interpreters we have work with us, and they give us, you know, hourly rates, too. They're not raking us over the coals. It's the non-Spanish interpreters that can charge up to $150 an hour plus travel.
Okay, wow. Good business to be in, huh?
Learn another language.
Yeah,
I should.
Becky, can you
help they build a wall?
I got a question on page 65, just with the child support revenue.
Yes.
Proposed 470, 2016, 2017 is 450. The
yes.
difference, can you explain it to me?
The child support revenue is based on what they call 4D funding. It's IVD funding. Jeff Wilson is the guru of how those numbers run, but we get reimbursed for hours that our staff spend on those 4D cases, on child support cases. So that can fluctuate based on the percentage of federal funding they get, the amount of hours our staff spends on it, the level of staff that, the level of money that our staff are being compensated as well, too.
Do you expect that number to keep going down?
No, it actually went up for this year,
right.
And we were able to keep that from 2015, but they're just not sure, and I think they were just being cautious.
Thank you.
Brian.
Is that the interpreter? Is that higher because we do have federal inmates, too? Is that part of it?
No, we don't pay for federal inmates. It's only in the circuit court.
Okay, that comes, the feds pay for that.
Yes.
Okay. All right, anything else on the circuit court budget? And you're going to do the elected services separate, correct?
Correct.
All right. Anything else on circuit court? I'm seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
And you want to do the elected services as well?
Yes. I am the boss in here for 2017. The Kenosha County Elected Official Satellite Office is out at 45 and 15. And represents the treasurer, county clerk, registrar of deeds, and the circuit court office out there. The budget presented is very similar. There is an increase due to the salary expenses on the positions that are anticipated for funding next year.
No changes there. Discussion?
I'll move to approve that.
Second? Did you second that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move right in then to the joint services. And Dave, do you want to call the sheriff? And so
they're waiting out there.
The sheriff is there.
Oh, they are. Okay, very good.
Joint services, huh?
Tom.
Good evening. Tom Genther, director of joint services. With me is Dr. Nielsen. He is the assistant director with joint services. Personnel assistant, Doug Sabatic, and finance assistant, Francine Hooper. She has taken over for Lori Fapso, who retired earlier in the year. On September 13th, the Joint Services Board approved a budget of $9.7 million. That is approximately $270,000 more than last year. Within your backup, the county's portion of that will be $4,300,000. That is when you apply the formula between what the city and county will pay. So again, within your backup, you will see an amount of $4,003,000. Just to summarize, personnel services is approximately 70% of the joint services budget. And we are not applying a wage increase this year. We're going through a wage compensation study, much as what you guys did last year, and we're waiting for those results. We hope to get them in the next couple of months. As we continue, contractual services is approximately $1.8 million, 20% of the budget. Supplies and material are 10% of the budget, $890,000. And we have about $66,000 in capital outlay this year. I could address anything specific that you would like in the budget if you have any questions.
Dan.
Tom, you want to just tell the committee about the new software project and kind of give us an up to speed on where it's at?
Sure.
Thank you.
We have been going through the software project. It has been, it's been quite a project. It started out about 3 years ago and went through an analysis, a business needs assessment. We selected a company. That company has been installing it. It is a very labor-intensive project. It is requiring a great deal of work from Joint Services, the Sheriff's Department, the Police Department. We are putting weeks at a time in there, not only building the software, but testing it. So what we are replacing is the dispatch software, the jail software, the software that will allow the officers on the road to write reports, to view records. It is a very large and encompassing project. We are moving ahead. We're hoping to go live with it in February of this year. It has been a challenge for all of us, and it's been a learning experience. It is approximately $3.2 million, and I anticipate that we will use all $3.2 million.
Ron?
I assume the city share went up accordingly as far as this. So what were the increases? What did that entail?
For operating budget?
Yeah, for operating, yeah.
With the formula, approximately 55% is assigned to the county, 45% is assigned to the city. So the county's is $4.3 million. The city's is $3.5 million.
The question I asked is what reflects the increase? Why did it go up so much?
The most significant drivers in there is that there is some wage increase, what we assigned to, to pick up the wage and compensation study. And then the software project, when you look at contractual services and costs from that, picks up a substantial portion of the budget.
What did health insurance, did your health insurance costs go up accordingly, I suppose, too, huh?
Our health insurance went up approximately 5%. We are at $1.3 million. We have 81 people in there. We insure approximately 84 people when you look at retirees. And so it has gone up about 5%. We have not locked in the specific plan yet. Our consultant is still working on that, the specifics of that plan. And we hope to get that taken care of in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Supervisor Rowe, Chairman Morrison.
Yes.
I'd like to ask Mr. Gunther, when after the new software is initiated, if you can come back to us and let us know how it's going and everything.
Certainly.
Appreciate
that.
Thank you, sir.
I have a, so that the software was put over 2 years, is that right?
That is correct.
Is there a reason why it was two? Just I'm curious. You couldn't have spread that out. Not that it's you could have or couldn't have, or is that just this is the best way of doing it? Because it's, I mean, we hit $1 million in 2 years, and now we're going to nothing. I don't know.
Is that much of that, I think, was done within the finance department. Actually, your force is one who made that decision. I know we blocked it over a two-year period. I don't have that specific answer for you.
You can't really spread it over more than that. I mean, the people want their money for the services that they're doing. I mean, we did well to spread it over the 2 years. So, to answer your question.
Anything else?
I just want to piggyback on what Ed said about Tom coming back and talking to us about the software. I've also met with Tom and Josh about coming up with a little memo like State of the Union, but State of Joint Services, and coming back to us with, you know, where all the hardware is and what they're their vision is for the foreseeable future for joint services. Because to be honest with you, we're paying for a lot of what was created in 1982, and it's now fallen apart when joint services started. So there's going to be a focus in the future. You know, in the last few years, we've implemented a capital improvement plan similar to the county and the city. And also, I wanted to do a state of joint services as this progresses, so you'll all be seeing that in the near future as well. So,
yeah.
I just want to thank Tom and the administration. All the county board supervisors around this committee should really understand how big this software project is. It's huge. Well, thanks, Supervisor Getz, too, for chairing that committee. I mean, this is my first time being part of that committee, and this is a Goliath, and you guys are doing a great job. You know, there's been obviously bumps in the road. I think they've been handled correctly. We've all haven't lost the focus on moving forward, but this is it's a bigger thing than I even realized. You know, I mean, once you get into it. So I just wanted to thank you guys for that.
Thank you.
Right. On your insurance, are you self-insured or?
No.
No, you're not?
No.
Okay.
All right, any other discussion? I've seen that all this. Oh, go ahead.
You had a question about the consultant that we used. Originally, we had a consultant out of California. They were called DeltaWorks, and they were the ones that helped us select the software provider, which is now New World Technology, Tyler Technology.
Whatever happened to the other person that came before the committee one time and talked, his name was
Mark Roush. He has moved on to another venture.
I see. Anyone else? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. We are completed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And we'll move on to the Sheriff's Department. All right, you are the last person on the agenda.
Excited.
So.
He's got a weird smile on his face.
I'm hoping you guys are exhausted. It's going to go, it's done. All right, go ahead.
We're not exhausted at all. We're just energy.
We were waiting for you.
Yeah, we're
going to go. There's a Cubs game tomorrow. We'll just move the agenda.
There you go.
All right, we'll start at page 35. And.
You ready?
Or is yours?
Yeah, all right. We're ready.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, as always, excited to be here. This is my favorite time of year other than Christmas.
I'll bet it is, yeah.
Well, don't look like some look at us as Santa Claus.
You didn't buy that?
Okay. No.
Just forget it's not Christmas.
I said next to Christmas.
Yeah.
We're the county exec and administration coming up with this budget for 2017. And our... For our operating budget, we're looking to increase it by $1.37 million. The majority of that is for personnel. $566,000 of the $1.3 is attributed to the increase in employee health insurance and WRS retirement expenses. $655,000 is attributed to the increase in salary. About $200,000 of this increase is attributed to the cost of adding two sworn sergeants to our department next year, and also refunding three correctional guards, which we very, very, very badly need. The two sworn sergeants, what they'll be doing is they'll be going to, we have three shifts. We currently have, on first shift, one lieutenant and two sergeants. On second shift, we made a move last year. We've got one lieutenant and three sergeants. And on third shift, we have one lieutenant and two sergeants again. What this is going to do, and they're staggered throughout the year, this is going to give us the opportunity to have four supervisors on each of the shifts, one lieutenant and three sergeants. And it's going to, we've got a lot of changes. We just got four new deputies out of school 2 weeks ago. I got two coming out of school in December. And depending on how things shake out, we have up to 8 brand new deputy sheriffs going to school in January, and they'll be getting out of school in about the beginning of April. A lot of new people on the road. One thing that we've always wanted, we've needed very badly, is to get supervisors on the road, and too often right now, we supervise from a desk inside this building because that's just how some of the times personnel works out. The three correctional guards, I think everyone here understands that that's a huge priority that I've been pushing for a long time. We also, beginning of November 1st, we are going to start patrolling, we always have, but actually a village car for the Village of Summers. And that's going to start 8 hours per day on second shift and carry through 2017. The contract, the way it is structured right now, and it depends on the growth, but it is set up to 17 be second shift, 18 be second, and I think it's first shift, and then in 19, all three shifts will be covered. We're proposing a $300,000 increase in contractual services. This will include costs for inmate medical and dental contracts. We're going to go to 24-hour nursing at our detention center. This is going to be a huge bonus for us because right now, on third shift at the detention center, where a majority of our inmates are housed, if someone gets sick in the middle of the night, we have no other option right now but to call a deputy in and send them off to the hospital. So what this is going to do, it's going to allow the medical staff at the detention center, both facilities will have 24/7 coverage of at least someone on call there. So this will be a huge thing for us and ultimately save some, in case we get calls for transport.
Jeff has a question.
Is that something that the federal government asked us to do, or are you making that decision as a cost-saving measure or something?
That's something the federal government has been asking us to do this since we've been holding federal inmates. But also the state of Wisconsin has been asking us to do this too. You guys don't know who Greg Buchholz is, but he's from the Department of Corrections. He's the inspector that comes. He was just here today, I think. And one of the key things that we get beat up on every year is we don't have 24/7 coverage of medical at both facilities where we hold inmates. So this is something that's been asked by a lot of different people.
Okay. And I'm going to piggyback on my own question. I can do that, you know. Are there any other things that the federal government is asking us to do for these prisoners? I heard a rumor of, you know, are we going to have to jump through some more hoops to continue to get these prisoners sent to us? Or
not right now. There's more prisoners than they can find homes for.
Yeah. Okay.
So they actually want us to take more, but our issue with that is if we do that, we have to open up a whole new dorm. If we open up a whole new dorm, we got to stock it with 24/7 overtime just to cover it. And our people already have too much overtime now. So right now there's no hoops to jump through.
Okay.
They're actually going, please. And they're actually, they've never talked to me like this. So this is kind of a new
change. Now's a good time to ask them for an increase.
You're beating me to it.
I'm not disagreeing with that. It probably would be something we could address, but it's probably they're going to say, until this presidential election is done, we're not going to even discuss it. And this might be a whole other topic to discuss, maybe at the next meeting rather than bring it up right now, but the way immigration is they piggyback on the U.S. Marshals contract. And we do not have a contract with immigration at all. And all of you guys know that contract is not, the per diem has not been raised since it started 15 years ago.
How many presidential elections was that? About four of them, right?
I think four of them. And we haven't found one to be more generous than the other. So, and who knows what's going to happen with the new president. We know that one's going to build a wall and going to ship everybody out. The other one will probably be a status quo, so I have no idea how that's going to shake out. But it's something that we can certainly address, I would say, after the election and see if anyone's willing to do it.
We'll put that date on the agenda maybe for sometime in November. Or Dan.
Hey, Dave, per diem per day through the feds, or we're getting the same as any other facility, correct?
No.
Okay.
We're on the low end.
Right. I want you to kind of, I know that, but if you could maybe tell the committee that.
We get $70 a day, and I don't remember what everybody else gets because we haven't done that research in a little while, but some places get up to $100 a day. And now would be a very good time to ask, I think, because they are in need. But with that, they may
ask for more beds then?
They may also ask for, we'll give you more, but But it's a whole process, and Dave's been part of this. It's a whole process that you have to throw in your, I think, utility bills, and if there's rent or it costs, and
all overhead costs.
Yeah. It is a huge process to go through, and we have jumped through this hoop before. Nancy isn't tired of jumping through this hoop, but it is something that we'd all like to have, is get more money. But I'm not disagreeing. This that was actually discussed. Ed.
Supervisor, thank you. Sure, but maybe in November when we have the election results and all that in, maybe we can find out what the other jails are getting for their individuals. We get those numbers then, and then see if we could possibly at that time increase ours after the election.
Yeah. So, look, and again, I'd be happy to discuss it.
We're happy to wait. I'm just thinking if we get all the ducks in a row, then we'll do it at that time.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Thank you.
All right.
What are you running a day now? How many? Average?
230.
230, huh? So yeah. Your revenues are up anyway.
Our revenues are up, and 35. We're very thankful for that, because our overtime is through the roof. So, and that's what the money that we make from that is how we're covering overtime. Rick?
I'd like to say good job in increasing that Country Thunder revenue by $80,000. And second thing, we had just within last month, we had a representative in here saying that Amazon was going to pay for additional officers. Where would that show up on the 2016 projected budget, or is this too late to show up in here? What?
They're paying for overtime.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't, the way it works, and we do this for, Shoreland High School does this with us, I don't know if they did it this year, but if they have homecoming and they want two deputies there, they pay for the two deputies and they cover the overtime. Amazon basically is doing the same thing. All we're doing is at the entrances, and I forget exactly, I think there's 4 to 6 people at different shifts, different times of the day. They're putting people out there to help the traffic get in and out of the parking lot. So it really is a wash of here's what it costs and here's what they pay. And it is a benefit to us, because it's less accidents, it gets people in and out, the safety of everything that goes on, and everything, all the expenses are covered.
Well, it's an increase in cost or not?
They pay what it costs.
They pay, okay.
So
if it was to show up in here, when would it show up as a
revenue? Do you know what the bill was last year?
The bill was close to $40,000. There's a sundry revenue account.
Sundry revenue.
You might see actuals for 2015.
Okay.
And
I see it.
Expenses in overtime.
I see $10,000.
Retirement.
Okay. Thank you.
David.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair of the Finance Committee to Sheriff Beck. I believe it was 3 years ago you came before the Finance Committee, and I would try to quote you as appropriately as you were quoting someone else, if I recall. The line was, quote, "lean off the crack of federal inmate revenue." I know that the current president of the United States has made huge efforts in terms of deportations. I have had some constituents who've refused to talk to me, thinking that I was involved in that. So I'm wondering what you said a year or two ago, 3 years ago, and what you have going on now. Is that still the case? Is this kind of a temporary thing, or are we looking further in terms of what might happen?
No, we're looking at the exact same thing. And one thing that I think everyone is a lot of times tempted to do is read that number, the 230 that I gave you, and say, let's just up that number to 210, and because you're making it. And this is a Russian roulette. And 2 years ago, the federal inmates that we had didn't meet what we were asked to do on here, and we came in the red for our budget for the year because we didn't meet that. So in my perfect world, because it is a crapshoot, and if any president gets in and said we're going to do amnesty or do anything and make all of these people just citizens, this pool could dry up, and at that point, this is a $6 million hole that this entire county will get sucked into, and it won't be just us. It'll be every department in the county that will be flat on their back. So you're right. It's a drug that we all have been very used to for the last 14, 15 years, and And we have to be very cautious. Right now, they're throwing people at us, but at any time, they could get sucked right away from us. We didn't raise our number this year. It's exactly the same.
Mr. Chair, if I could, just because this has frustrated me for many years. Whenever we talk about this, we always isolate it to just the numbers. I want to remind my fellow members that there are people, there are families that are part of this as well. They matter just as much as supporting the county budget. Thank you.
Jeff, what number are we at?
199.
199 is in the budget.
Yeah, that's just like last year, right?
No, that was the last. That was last year.
And the year before.
And I think the year before, too.
I know. It was the year before, too.
There you go.
And we've been very, let me tell this body, we've been very conservative on our numbers. You know, you talk about up in numbers. That was probably 5-6 years ago.
We were like where, 270.
Where people were inflating the number.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know I chaired judiciary and law for 4 years, and we brought the number in check.
Yeah.
And it's been that way pretty much ever since.
Yeah.
I mean, in to your Supervisor Hallman's question, yeah, we have to wean ourselves off this.
I'll leave the moral complexity of that alone. Right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You think we're going to be way above the 199?
In 16, we
yeah,
sure are.
17.
It's hard to say.
We don't have a clue.
Flip a coin.
That's about it.
I think it's important, like you said, now maybe to come back. That's why I brought up the question of, are we the highest paid? I know we weren't. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we do, instead of bring the numbers up a little bit. I think it's our time.
Yeah.
We've been complacent. You know, I know it's not guaranteed money, but at least let's try to get, if we can bump them a little bit. But, you know, it now's the time. If they're throwing yeah. people at us.
In this past week, we actually had a few of the federal judges from Milwaukee come down with the Eastern District U.S. Marshal. And the Eastern District is Kevin Carr, who was the chief deputy from Milwaukee for years. They came down because they had never, of course, inmates always complain about the facility and they don't eat right and they don't do whatever. And they paint this terrible picture. Well, our magistrates came down here, and I guess they had this look initially on their face. Well, what do you think so far? Like, we'll tell you when we're done. And afterwards, I guess there were hugs and kisses around that they were pretty impressed with our detention center. So at least the U.S. Marshals and the magistrates in Milwaukee are pleased with what they've seen here, which is a good thing, because when they hear these complaints, and again, I always pick on Terry in some way, but you know how these defense attorneys always go, my client's not getting this, or they're not doing this.
I think those are just my people.
I heard that.
Oh, goodness.
Just out of curiosity, if you keep that level, right now it's 230, what does that go? How does that work up and down to 10 a day, or do they come in and go in all the time, or what?
They come and go on every day. We have transports every day between here, Chicago, and I think it's a few times a week to Milwaukee, if I remember right. So some are coming in and going out. They go to trial. They go to hearings, and then they, if they get released, they get released from down there. So it's been holding. Again, they've wanted to bump us up for the last couple of months. I just had the head of the Midwest for ICE, Ricardo Wong, call me. On my way to a football practice, and he goes, Dave, we could really use you. And a couple of years ago, and they didn't have that many people. They're like, if you don't toe the line, we're going to pull your people. Now it's, Dave, what can I do for you? So
that's got to be a lot of work in transferring people, moving people.
It's a huge amount of work. Yeah. It is. We've got more people conveying people on day shift than we do on patrol. And there's one lieutenant and two sergeants that man it every single day. I shouldn't say that, Monday through Friday. So it is a huge part of what we do.
It's nice to know
that. Dave, I hear a lot of hearsay, and I want to, you know, I'm sure you've got the correct information. On Summers, I see that we have income of $136,274. And what I've been hearing a lot of is that that's for like patrol costs, but what I hear is that there is so much time consumed by the sheriff's department out there for people stealing and everything else.
Walmart?
At Walmart. Is that true, or do we need to reassess that amount, or is that just rumor?
I forget exactly the amount of calls that are out there, but a lot of the calls are people doing follow-up. A lot of the calls are for accidents in a parking lot. And a brunt, the biggest portion, and I don't know that we figured this out. It wouldn't be that hard, I guess, to figure out. But between Black Friday and January 1st, that, in the past, we've actually assigned a squad car out there on second shift to the Sam's and Walmart because it tied up that much time. So what the Village of Summers did is we are starting the village car November 1st, and that car is going to be assigned a second shift during that time. So what that's going to do is that's going to alleviate that 40 days of tying up everything else we do in Summers. So this is going to be a huge, huge plus to Summers and to us as far as getting calls and getting service out there.
In the meantime, we still have to provide calls for emergencies, calls people call. I mean, so
absolutely.
So Summers is getting their money's worth, right?
Everybody gets their money's worth.
I don't mean it. You know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean.
Are they paying enough, I guess, is what we're asking.
Yeah. Back when I started in 82, I worked third shift. We had six district cars. And I'm not barking about this year because I got two sergeants, which is going to put really one extra person for me on the road on days and third. And there were two-man cars. Right now, we have six district cars, and they're all one-man cars. So in reality, the district cars we have less people on the road than we did in 1982. The things that help us are the Bristol, Summers, the Silver Lake. If all heck is breaking loose, we pull them to come and help us. But we actually have less district patrol deputies than we did 34 years ago.
I believe it.
Mike, could you have something?
Yeah, you said that the cost for keeping somebody in jail is $70 a day.
That's what we charge. If we had a dorm, dorms hold 64 inmates. If we had a dorm that had 60 people in it and there was room for four, it doesn't really cost us $70 a day to put this young man in our jail. I mean, you're talking about.
How did you get
it? You don't have a uniform that small, really. So,
just kidding.
Don't be nervous. It costs a couple dollars a day for meals, maybe about $6 a day for meals. It costs. They have a uniform, but he wouldn't wear it out. We have to wash it, the bedding. So, you're talking about. I forget exactly what it is. You know, $15 a day to hold someone in the facility. But if we had to open up a whole new dorm to accommodate one person, now we're talking about thousands. So, follow that?
Mm-hmm.
As long as I can fit them into an open dorm, I'm good.
Well, you're saying $15 a day. That's just, that's not taking in the cost of the guards?
Nope.
The cooks?
Nope.
All the assemblies?
Right. So, you're exactly right.
Well, what you're also saying, if we have a half a full pod, we can put people in there. It's not cost us anything. Then to open up a full one, we only have 20% of it full. Now it's cost us a lot more money.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying.
Kim?
So just a quick question about Silver Lake and Salem. When we merge out there, because you currently have a contract with Silver Lake, and then Silver Lake becomes much larger, how is that going to affect your budget and your deputies out there?
Well, we're still trying to meet with Silver Lake and Salem. Thought we were going to do that in July, and they keep postponing it. And I actually just got a hold of, I emailed Pat Casey last week now, and I said, we really need to discuss this. Even though they're merging, we're already in place to deal with whatever they throw. I mean, we're already there. It isn't like as they merge, they just add an influx of 50,000 people. I mean, Salem Oaks now included, or Salem Lakes now included Antioch, and they disbanded their department, this would be a huge issue for us. But it doesn't. So we will have to sit and discuss what they perceive their law enforcement needs are for down the road. So we're going to work on that one.
Okay. All right, Greg?
When we got to Judicial Committee, did you bring up there are programs that have been discontinued, or the funding has been discontinued, but we're expected to keep providing them?
Did I didn't get to that. That was the next thing I was getting to.
Oh. Serious?
Seriously.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was.
No, you're good. So if you want to talk about anything I've brought up already, I'd be happy to. Otherwise, I'll.
No, go ahead.
I want to see if we can find two less prisoners.
Hold on a minute.
The 197, I'd like to go down to 197.
Supervisor Berg might have had something.
Oh, I'm sure. I didn't see your hand over there. Yes, go ahead.
Have you guys assessed what the new Vivitrol program, how that will affect, will that affect at all?
The heroin usage?
With the new Vivitrol program coming.
Is that the one that the DA is?
Yeah. Or is that too young
I don't know how that's going to affect us. I know I'm excited about it because, and I don't know if I've ever told this group before, but 15 years ago I lost she was either 20 or 21-year-old cousin to heroin before it was actually a big deal. We lost, and again, I'm probably repeating some of the things that Mike brought in or told you earlier, is that we lose twice as many people to really heroin overdoses as we do to car accidents here in Kenosha, and it's a huge issue. So we're trying to get, we're in the process of getting Narcan into our squad cars to hopefully save some people. And the Vivitrol, we're hoping that part of that Vivitrol, but my understanding is they don't want to use heroin after they take Vivitrol. For whatever reason, it short circuits the brain that says, I need to use this.
Right.
So we're looking at, that's going to be a plus. Does that group of people cost us a lot of money? I don't know.
Well, in terms of population.
In our jail?
How much of an impact will they have on population?
Gosh, I don't know.
I wouldn't think much.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's
so
young in their...
I guess we'll see, but our local population.
We're not getting paid for those people, anyways.
No, fewer burglaries.
They're.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, Rick, you bring up a good point. I mean, almost every burglary that goes on in this community, my first thought is what heroin addict is doing the burglaries now? And almost always we'll find that it was some kind of drug addict trying to feed their addiction. So if that would be the case, I think the property owners would be very happy because they're going to have less burglaries. I don't know if I'm answering your question at all. I don't have an answer for you on that one.
Just look at the numbers at the end of the year.
Yep, and I don't know if we'll actually know because you don't know if our local population shrinks down. Is it because of that? Is it because of... different programs that have been in place because the heroin dealers or the users all died in the past years and now they aren't it'll be a tough one to measure. But, and I still think back to my 20-year-old niece or cousin, if she was still here, would that have stopped it? I don't know. Rod.
I know you got in-squad cameras, but have you ever thought about body cameras at all? Has it come up discussion or how?
It does come up. It's not something I'm real excited about. And there's a lot of reasons for it. First of all, and reporters asked me this when we were looking for Obregon, and they said, well, what about body cameras for looking for Obregon? I said, I'm just repeating myself now. I said, could you imagine if I put a camera on each one of you reporters for an entire 8-hour shift and recorded every single thing you said and did in an 8-hour shift, do you think a defense attorney could find something in that 8 hours that made you look like an absolute buffoon? Every reporter says, oh my God, absolutely. And the amount of storage that we would have to incorporate to hold all these different officers, and right now I'm being told you would have to hold this information. The lowest number that I heard so far was for 7 years, and I heard other people saying indefinitely for this information. This would be, and I don't understand computers. I don't know how it stores it. But this would be gigantic gobs of data that would be stored forever. And part of the issue is, also, we have squad cars that cover almost every single thing we do. And we get most everything on there. To duplicate it, and the open records request that we have, and really Terry's not bad about this. We've got other attorneys that are very, very needy. And we've got... But to have so much
left you out.
So much video, I can't pick on them all the time.
No.
They have so much
when you're bringing the buttons.
Very gentle. Very good.
They have so much information and so much data that people ask for. You truly have to create an entire division. And I think Joint Services isn't one of the people they ask for just to make copies of stuff that they do. It would be a huge burden. And we've actually heard that, plus some of the things that courts are saying you can't record. It would just be a nightmare. It would just be an absolute nightmare. So not would a few times it be beneficial? Absolutely. But the overall package of trying to incorporate it would be huge. And
Sheriff, when do you think that you might be implementing that Narcan on the sheriff deputy car?
We got it. We just had our
in-service on it right now.
No, we got to do in-service. We're working on doing that as we speak. And some funds just freed up for us, and we're looking at getting that incorporated not too long. But in in-services, I believe we're going to try to get that going again. And we're trying to find the cheapest route to get it. And someone actually told me that Walgreens said they would get us to it for half price, like $23 a dose. So I don't know how long, maybe, you know, how long does the dose last? I mean, how long does the shelf life?
Well, at least a year or so.
Oh, okay.
So, but can I, let me get that straight, though. Why would you have to have it versus emergency vehicles?
Who do you think is going to be on the scene?
Well, I mean, if I'm in peril for other things, I got to wait for emergency to get, if it's a heart attack, if it's whatever I might have, you're not doing some things like that to emergency.
Actually, we are.
Well, okay, is it, all right, well, I mean,
we have,
to a certain extent, I understand that, but, yep. I mean, I don't know if it's a large expense versus having the emergency people.
It would be.
I mean, I don't know, just a thought. I don't
no,
know,
no, I got it, and truly, I've thought that way for the last several years, as Narcan came out and other agencies around us were getting going, these heroin users deserve, I mean, they're bringing it upon themselves. I mean, we aren't doing this. I mean, let them wait. And the more stories I'm hearing, a large part of me still believes that. And the other part is, if we can save somebody, and I'm not just picking on my cousin from 15 years, because it didn't exist back then, but if we can save somebody, it's worth it.
Very good. I agree.
And I think $23 is worth it.
And it's a shot. I mean, and the training is minimal. You basically just give someone a shot, and it's a miracle drug from what I hear.
It works.
Yeah,
works.
Yeah, one of the scary things is I was told that at some drug dealers or heroin parties, they're actually obtaining Narcan so they can save people after if they use too much.
Because they don't want to lose a customer.
Got it.
Makes good sense.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, further discussion. Did you get Greg's question answered here?
I've got a bunch left.
Sorry.
I like Ed's motion, actually.
Well, the motion's out.
I thought your question was you were going to talk about what things are required that... Go ahead.
Absolutely. One of the things I think Greg's bringing up is we have... You've heard of WCS, the Wisconsin Community Services, and what it is it's a organization that is on our second floor, and they deal with second-time drunk drivers and above. And they come in and they are a watchdog for the courts and for us, and they reduce our inmate population by, I forget how many days it is, but it's in a couple thousand days, you know, of inmates. And the state government has been assisting us with grants for 20 years. And they, every year for a long time, they've been saying, we're not going to give you any grant money next year. And this is finally the next year. So we're in this budget is a $67,000 increase for the WCS program to continue it. And it's an extremely worthwhile program to monitor drunk drivers here in Kenosha. So supplies. We're proposing a decrease of $233,000 in this. Biggest part of that is fuel prices. We've all been living with cheaper fuel the last few years, and Nancy was able to reduce fuel costs. Supplies for a fixture, we budgeted for a few desks and chairs at the detention center, two new desks, and two new sergeant positions. We're looking to add a couple of portable radios, and driver's license readers, imagers used by deputies are all getting old and updating. We're looking to increase our staff development the Joint Services come in and tell you, give you an update on New World?
Yeah.
All right. That is a very labor-intensive training, and we've put in $24,000 to fund our staff to do these trainings and attend these conferences where they where New World is updated. Let me see. Capital budget. We are one of the pieces of equipment we're looking at doing. We're looking at getting new squad cars. We replace about a third of our fleet every year, and one of the pieces of equipment we're looking to replace, and we've had one of these for a very long time, and the last one we had was really about a 1990 rescue squad the village or the town of Paris gave us 14 years ago, and the transmission actually locked up a year ago. So we're looking to put in a walk-in evidence collection van so our detectives and our staff can put in all the evidence collection equipment that they need to travel out to the scenes of whether it be a fatal accident, a homicide, a battery, whatever it is. So that's one of the pieces of equipment we're looking for this year. And I have a picture of a sample one in case you wanted to see it. A sample of what it looks like. Most of you can probably picture. Revenue. We left the federal inmates the same. As Supervisor, I think Dodge brought up, we increased the $136,000 for a contract for Joseph Summers. One thing that irritates the heck out of me is the prisoner phone commission has gone down. The FCC has determined in their infinite wisdom that, and I guess it depends how you look at this. I look at it as my family, no one in my family has ever been in jail. And the people who are in our jail pay really nothing for the expenses they have. One of the things that we were able to recoup part of it is through the phone lines. We were able to, and I forget, it was like 35 cents or whatever it was, for their phone calls, it helped to pay for jail expenses. Well, the FCC has determined that we no longer can do that, and they started doing this in, I think, 2014 or 15, started reducing it. We used to bring in somewhere between $30,000 to $40,000 a month in inmate phone revenue, and we're hoping it makes $10,000 a month next year. So that is a huge cut in our finances, in our revenues. That's it.
What do you use now in place of this?
At this second, we have the equipment scattered in different vehicles trying to get it there. And ultimately what you have to do some of the time, and we went back and discussed this after judiciary and law, is you have to call in more detectives who have different pieces of equipment in their cars to get all the equipment there that you need for different scenes. So this will be a one-stop shop, and again, it's a new vehicle, but it's not new to our department. It is, we're trying to replace one that truly broke down on its way to Country Thunder last year to try to get equipment out there, and you gotta have it towed back.
The other one, I believe you said, was donated to us 15 years ago, so its useful life is dead. Done.
Shelf life on something like this, Dave, 10, 20 years?
At least 14. I'd say 15, 20 years. Yeah.
You doing how many squad cars again? We talked about this, man.
15.
No, this year.
Yeah.
Third. It's a third.
About a third of our squads replace every year. And it's not a third of all of our squads because our detective vehicles last 10, 12 years because they don't put as many miles. It's the patrol vehicles. Bless you. It's the patrol vehicles that we replace every third of a year. It isn't the whole of our whole fleet.
How many miles are on them?
125-ish. And part of the thing is that 125,000 isn't like your 125,000 because if you put on 100, 120, 25 in a shift miles, that squad's been running for 7 hours to do it. Where your car, you probably put on 2 hours. So it has about four times as many hours on it than regular.
Here's a trivial question, I guess. You always have to have them running, right? Is that right? When a guy is stopped, is it always running? Is that, I mean, is that just standard or not? Or does that matter or not? Or
you don't have to. Part of the issue we have is if you shut them down, the computer system in it, and that shuts down, we have to go back either to this building right here to reboot it and get it going again, really, or out to 45 and 50. So once you shut it down, like if you're in a Randall car, your computer is now cut off unless you come back, reboot it, and go back out again. So, yeah, it does drive me a little crazy sometimes when a restaurant, I see a squad car sitting there idling, and they come up with all kinds of, they want to stay warm, they got to do this. But
always ready to go.
Always ready to go. But the true thing is, if they do shut it down and if the computer shuts down, they have to go all the way back to where the two different places.
Is that fixable?
Yes, if we get the entire county to be a Wi-Fi spot, that will work.
I think I brought this up with Sheriff Beth about, you know, the capital is gone up. I mean, it's going over a million something last 2 years, and it's part of this is the new van. I mean, this is a little increase. I mean, he explained it to me very well that he needs it. And he said he got cranky, but that's okay. You know, he made it sound like these turn into the Bluesmobiles once they go past a certain amount of time, right? So I got straightened out on that. But it is an expense, but it's what it is.
Explain the program to him, huh?
Well, it's the one tool. Law enforcement has a few tools that we really, really depend on. And one is the ability to speak to the people. It's the face-to-face communication to de-escalate what's going on, to resolve it, possibly it's to arrest them. Another one is the weapon, but we use the weapon very, thank God, very infrequently. The second biggest tool we use is a squad car to get there. So I want our people to get there.
Well, this number seems a little high to me, this 15, to be honest with you. I'm sorry, Terry.
Go ahead.
I mean, because usually to me it's been, what, 13 or a couple more than normal? Or
no, one of the vehicles is for summers.
Right, one extra.
Am I right on that? Usually it's about 13?
13 or 14. Okay. It's 15.
I mean, I haven't been in that committee for a while. But
for Village of Summers. Okay.
That was my only question.
I just got it through there. Good pickup.
He's sharp.
Well, that's the test question.
All right, any other discussion? Yes, Jeff.
There's this line item here, food groceries, that's down 60 grand. What is that?
We have granola bars every day for breakfast.
Okay.
Is it bacon or gold?
I love it.
If you look at actuals, maybe 2015, maybe a projection for 2016, 2014, you don't have. But we've kept the food and groceries budget the same over a number of years. I've usually been able to use some unspent budget money annually to about $50,000 towards the end of the year to shore up pharmaceuticals or other line items that go. We usually end up with about $50,000 that I can use in other places. Well, I proposed here that the budget start with $50,000 less, and I just put more in pharmaceuticals or other places.
Okay, that explains it. All right.
Just do it.
Because I'm looking at the adopted budget for 2016, not any what really happened. You actually are 60 grand bucks.
Yeah.
So and you just moved it to where it really should go. That's a good idea. Excellent idea.
And part of it is, the county exec was putting together the budget and trying to figure all this out. It went up a lot. And what they asked us to do is eliminate $300,000 from our budget as it currently sits. Mm-hmm. So Nancy had to go through and figure out, okay, where should we come up with this? And that's one of the spots she came up with.
So I'm also looking at the electronic monitoring thing. Is that, am I seeing that was at 197 and now it's down to 85?
Yeah, and that's a wash.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a wash. That's a lot of money.
No, but the money that the people pay, it's reflected in revenues and expenses. So if it was $200,000, they're both matching. If it was $80,000, it's both matching.
Okay. All right.
But we currently have a few judges that don't like electronic monitoring. They want, if they sentence them to jail, they want them to be in jail. And I said, when I first brought in electronic monitoring, I will do my best to honor the judge's wishes. If you want, if you, you know these people better than I do in most of these cases, and except Andy Obregon, if you want them in jail, I'll honor that. So we've got two judges that don't like it. So our numbers are actually down more this year than they were in the past because of that.
You're not going to name them to stay out of trouble, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay. My last thing is, and first of all, I want to thank you and your staff for putting together this budget. I know you're asking for things, and I know that you don't usually ask for things like this that you don't feel you need. So, I mean, I respect that. What I would like to comment, though, is to piggyback what David said and what we've said here for a number of years. That's the reduction of the reliance on the inmate. I'm looking into that outside of this so we don't have to bring it up, but I also, is there a way to do 197 this upcoming year and 195 next year?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd like to see us move down and move at least in the direction. And I'm not going to ask for huge cuts. And I know you guys are under the gun, you know, for what you have to put together, and I appreciate it. It's just, I would like to see that come down a little bit, like we're making an effort.
Yeah, that would be about 140, no.
Well, I times 70 times
365,
and I got 52,000, 51,1.
Okay, that's so, one? That's one or two, did you figure out two?
One person.
Two, that's two?
Yeah,
so, 140 okay, so times. If you create our tax levy, $52,000, we can knock it down too. One of the things I pointed this out is one of the things that Nancy had to do before we even got to this, before we got to county exec, we had to drop $250,000, and that $60,000 for food.
Well, the $60,000 for food went somewhere else.
Some of, most of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, part of budgets are interesting. And part of it is, I don't care how you want to look at it, but it's a shell game. I'll move something over here and do something this to make this happen. And Nancy moved things here and did things here. One of our biggest shortfalls we have is overtime. It's nuts. It is absolutely an incredible number, and we aren't budgeted for it. The numbers.
Two sergeants are going to help.
Yep. Well, the two sergeants are on the road, but definitely the three correctional officers will help.
That'll help too.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're saying cut another 50 out of food or something like that, some of this is a hope and a prayer that was thrown into this to hope it works.
Okay. Is there, I mean, just look me square in the eye, no BS. Do you think you could find the money for to do it with 197 instead of 199? If you tell me no, you can't.
Okay. There you go. I've already.
Okay.
What I could
out of it. Okay. Well, really, I'm gonna let you know next year I'm gonna come in at 195. So I'm just telling you now, no matter what the executive tells you, I'll still be sitting here and it's gonna be 195. So that's what I'm gonna push for. But I appreciate what you're doing this year, the numbers you've worked with, and I'm not gonna put a burden on you for this year, but next year I'm going to put that in there. So
just so we all understand, when you say 195, that's about $210,000, isn't it?
No,
correct.
I
didn't
say it was
100. From 199 to 195.
Yeah,
200.
That's about $210,000. Just a minute. That's 4 minutes. That's about $210,000. Are you asking him then to cut his budget by that, or are you asking him? Are you asking the general public to pay for?
I was asking
that
to see if they could cut their budget by the. I came up with 51.1. I don't know if
for
my
one
numbers.
Person, right?
No,
for two people.
For
so you're talking about 100.
Yeah, I mean it's 100 for four, and I didn't even say the 195. I said 197 for this year. So and I wanted an honest answer, and she gave me one. So I'm not going to push for it. But yeah, I'm asking. I'm not going to ask the general public to do it. I'm going to ask him to cut it.
Well, in reality, we did. We cut $300,000 from our operating expenses from this year.
I know. That's why I'm not pushing it.
I know.
That's why. And yeah. She answered me, and I appreciate that. So
All right, any further discussion?
I just have one quick one here, and I'll let your gas and oil, the budgeted and the actual, and if the answer is the price of gas, that's probably could be the answer. That's why it's so different. I mean, your budget in 16 was for $438,000. This year it's for $268,000. You're gonna spend about $257 this year. So is it the price of gas? Is that how you do that budget, or is it something different? I mean, it's
gallons used and what I think the wholesale right. price of gas will be.
Okay, it's your gas oil. You budgeted last year for four. You wanted to have $438. It was and you're actually gonna have $57 this year. That's $1,000 from what you budgeted to what's gonna happen.
So I budgeted $268,000 for 2017, okay. more in line and, with
okay,
reality.
I understand. Yeah. Okay, so that was just price of gas and something like mm-hmm. that? Okay.
The number of gallons and the price of fuel.
I guess, okay, there's a little bit of a point of this. You can see, and Jeff's brought it up, we've all brought it up, there's a ton of variability in this budget, and it just is. It's the function of it, you know, which gets into... You know, which side do we sometimes take on this budget, the high side or the low side? I'm guessing, and I guess you have to figure something in between, I suppose. But, you know, we're looking at a $1.7 million levy increase this year. That's what it is, okay, on a $63 million budget. This is now we're going to talk about this in a couple of days. Just remember these variabilities when you think about that, okay? That's all. I'll leave it at that. So.
I agree with you.
Okay, ask thank a couple you. Buck a gallon in the next year. Who the hell knows?
Correct.
Presidential year, I'm a little
nervous. That's all I have. All right, very good. Any further discussion?
My motion still stands.
Yes, I know. No further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thanks for the good job.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, that concludes the agenda this evening. Is there a motion to
adjourn? Move to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Here's the
He does. He does.
The sheriff's.